Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 1, and that'll be from verse 26 to 38. This is a very familiar text if you've ever gone to a church service at Christmas time, which most of us have. And there's a saying that familiarity breeds contempt. And we who follow Christ, we're familiar with this, but it will not breed contempt. However, the danger is it may breed by its familiarity a sense by which we lose what an incredibly amazing experience this was for Mary. And if we lose that extraordinary encounter, the nature of this extraordinary encounter, we may miss a very wonderful gift that God has given us to deal with one of our greatest enemies that we have to deal with. So let's listen up. I'll read Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. There are many situations where what is real has two different levels of activity. Two different levels that are actually connected and yet may not seem to be connected. Now, if that seems kind of confusing, let me give you a classic illustration that goes way back to the 80s. Another, it's old. This is back when, most of you know, we live a block and a half away, when before our neighbor's tree grew to the size it is now, I could look out our window and look clear to the intersection, 58th and 144th, and I could see the Elfstroms' house. The Elfstroms lived over there. So one Monday on my day off, I'm sitting in the living room, I'm reading, and I notice through the window that a police car had pulled up on the other side of the street and stopped, and I saw an officer get out of the car, kind of tap his holster, it's on this side, and then walk towards 58th. And of course, curious, I got up and went to the window and watched. I saw him cross 58th. He went over to the Elstrom's lot on the south side where the driveway was, and he kneeled down behind one of their cars, and as he did so, he took out his revolver, and he was looking south up the street. I thought, well, that's something. Well, then, right as he's doing this, out on the north side of the house, out onto the porch, Carlin Elstrom comes with Christmas lights. And she begins putting up Christmas lights. I'm thinking, this is bizarre. Neither of them have any idea that the other is there. You have a police officer with gun drawn, and on the other side, Susie Citizen is putting up Christmas lights. And I'm watching, I think, what is going on here? Well, just to let you know, no people were harmed in this illustration. It turned out that there had been a report of a possible break-in up on 58th, and so the police actually were on both sides, you know, discerning that. But as I watched that unfold, here is one reality. They're connected. They're all at the Elfstrom's house, totally unaware of what's going on. When we read this story I just read, and really the whole Bible, there is two realities. There's two actions going on. The one is the heavenly reality, what God is doing in his dealings with humanity. The other is the earthly stories, the human stories down on our level. They're actually connected. God's interacting with us. But the earthly story is how or if people respond to what God is doing in revealing. And so in our story here, on the human level, it says that this encounter between Gabriel and Mary took place in the little village of Nazareth in Galilee. That's the northern part of Israel. That in itself is rather illustrious because the leaders of the Jews, they thought if God's going to send one, some Messiah, the promised Messiah, he certainly would come to Jerusalem and Judea. This is where the center of the Jewish faith is. That's why we need the heavenly perspective. You know, God doesn't always work like we might think he works. We need his revelation. But it gets even more interesting because Gabriel reveals two things about this child that's going to be born that are absolutely extraordinary and unprecedented. Without the heavenly perspective, we would not know this. First of all, is the nature of this child. Gabriel says that this child is going to be great. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He's going to have an eternal throne. He will ever. He also, verse 35, will be called the Son of God. I mean, no one else ever born has had a description like that. And yet it gets even more amazing. He also says that this child to be born will be born without sexual union. Totally unprecedented. Mary knows that. I mean, that's why she asked the question. She's very aware of what the angel means, is that, you know, before she ever has union with Joseph, she's going to be pregnant. Totally unprecedented about this child. Two different levels. Now, the angel also said to Mary here, said, "You who are highly favored, you found favor with God." Now, that's all about grace. We're not to read into that, by the way, that Mary was sinless. She wasn't. She was a sinner just like you and I. She was undoubtedly a very devout Jewish woman. But she was still a sinner like you and I. But the fact that God has chosen her to do this unique thing of bearing Messiah. No one else will ever have that calling. She is favored by God, grace from God, to enable her to have this incredible responsibility and privilege. Like I say, two different realities going on. You have the heavenly reality, you have the earthly reality. And unlike the incident with the Elfströms, where the two people had no idea of the other there, it doesn't quite work the same with the heavenly and the earthly, because here's the difference. God knows exactly everything going on here on earth and exactly everything he's doing in heaven. So for him, there's no surprise. And for Gabriel, there's no surprise. It says here, verse 26, God sent the angel Gabriel. Gabriel wasn't bored in heaven and thinking, man, I'm going to see if I can go stir up something here on earth. No, he was sent by God. And what a privilege for this angel to come to Mary. But look at it from Mary's story here on earth. She gets up on that particular day and it's just another day as far as she knows. She's going about her business being a nice young Jewish girl. And whoom, here's an angel. Now, we don't have a description here, but my guess is she knew it was an angel because there was some type of aura or something going on that made it clear. This is a messenger from God. And what was Mary's response? Well, it was fear. She was troubled. She was fear. Not only feared what she probably saw with this angel, but feared his message, troubled by what he said. My guess is that there's not any of us here, at least right now, that are trembling to our knees because we're seeing an angel. But I also guess many of us have to wrestle with fear about some of the messages that we hear. Think of some of the common messages that humanity shares, the wars that are going on in the world, the threat of terrorism, even economic uncertainties. We could go on and on. There are common fears. We hear something and we go, oh no. You hear people say, I don't even want to read the newspaper or watch the news anymore. It elicits fear. And then there's the personal fears, you know, things having to do with our relationships or our jobs or our health, and we're fearing this, we're fearing that. Those are the messages that we're receiving. So when it says here that Mary was troubled, and she had to be told, you know, do not be afraid. This is no blemish on her character. She's just being human. All of us struggle with fear. It's a human response. And yet what we also find in Scripture, one of the most common statements throughout the Bible is do not fear or do not be afraid. Again and again. And that's what the angel Gabriel says here. Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid. Now that is both an invitation and a command. It's an invitation because the do not fear means God is inviting us, take a look, I'm opening up a little bit of heaven. I'm giving you a glimpse of what is going on. And I want you to trust me in this. It's an invitation. But it's also a command because He's our Creator. We're dependent on Him. So He's telling us, you are to trust in Me. And so you don't need to fear. One of your reflections reading this week is going to be Psalm 34. Just a wonderful psalm. It has in there the verse that I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And then just a few verses down it says, the Lord watches over those who fear Him. The only fear we're to have is the one to whom we're accountable. And ironically, once we fear God and give Him our attention and allegiance, He can dissipate our fears. So God knows the whole story. That's why we can trust Him. And what we find here is even though Mary very humanly fears this initial message that she hears from the angel, she also is a shining light of what it means to have faith in God. For after the angel talks about how there's nothing impossible with God, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. You know, she's had a glimpse of heaven. I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. I accept what you've shown. Even though she knows it's a risk to her reputation, possibly her life, let it be to me according to your word. That's faith. And faith is what is a gift that God gives us that delivers us from one of our greatest enemies, and that's fear. Trusting in the Lord. Mary had it. Joseph had it. The shepherds had it. All of these were Jews who knew God would send the Messiah, and yet all of them had every reason to be in fear. Mary, obviously, you know, once she heard this, how this was going to come about, that she would become pregnant without sexual union, how many people are going to believe that one? You know, her reputation would be just ashamed. And yet she was willing to take that on, that risk to her reputation. Same with Joseph. He, when he found out Mary was pregnant, and he knew he hadn't been with her, he did the only thing he thought he could do. I'm not going to try to publicly shame her, but I'll divorce her. But he too had a revelation from God, the opening of the upper level, and God appeared to him in a dream and said, no, this is how this came about. She wasn't with another man. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And you're to give the child the name Jesus. Now, Joseph had every reason to fear, just like Mary. How many people are going to believe that? But he believed and trusted the Lord. Even the shepherds, you know, they have the announcement that the baby's been born in Bethlehem. Shepherds were on the low man on the totem pole in their society. And yet they took the risk to leave their sheep, which themselves is a huge risk when they would be found out they abandoned their post. And then they went out and shared about the news about the baby. Who's going to believe the shepherds? You know, so, but they over, all of them overcame their fear with faith. Of course, not everyone at the Advent time had faith. There was King Herod, as referred to in the Advent reading. When he heard that a new king had been born, he was filled with fear, but instead of accepting by faith this is from God, he responded in self-centered, his own protection for power, and tried to kill that newborn king. You see, faith is accepting the revelation that God gives and then letting our lives live that out. That's what Mary did. She believed what God had said, God saying, this is what I'm doing here on earth through your son, and then she lived her life accordingly. And that's what we are called to do. You see, when God reveals, we choose to believe that or not. Now, there is a verse, Psalm 36, I think it's verse 9, that says, for with you, meaning the Lord, is the fountain of life, in your light, we see light. I love that phrase. We understand the world. We understand how things work by the light that God has revealed. Now, there's been two sources of light that God has given us. One is the Bible. And we understand who we are and how God works and who He is by the Bible. But the Bible itself, as a light, points to the light, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. And so, by putting our faith in Christ, believing the Word of God and following it, we are allowing what God has revealed to guide our lives. Now, the reality of it is, here on earth, we only see a tiny, tiny fraction of what's actually happening. We can read news stories about what's going on around the world. We still are not experiencing it. We still don't know everything that's going on. We just are kind of this limited right here. Same thing, we don't see all that God has planned. He knows the whole picture, but what He has revealed in His Word and in Christ in our heart by the Spirit, that is what we are to respond to. And it's when we do that by faith that we can be delivered from our fears. Think of the world's fears right now, huge fears. And to be honest, until Jesus comes again, there's always going to be things going on in the world that are fearful. But when that happens, we can remember what God has said in His Word. For example, Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. The Lord thwarts the purposes of the peoples. He foils the plans of the nations. But the purposes of the Lord stand firm forever, His plans throughout all generations. In other words, God is overseeing everything. And that's why we put our trust in Him. And we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to use us as ambassadors for Christ in this broken world. And in our personal lives, when we face fears, we also say, Lord, how do you want me to respond? What are you showing me? It's just like in Acts 4, in the early church, when the Christians, they were so excited about sharing their faith, then the hammer fell. The authorities said, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus or else there's this huge threat. That was fearful. So what did they do? They went to the Lord in prayer. Lord, how do you want us to respond? We pray for boldness because you're telling us to speak in the name of Jesus. They tell us we're in deep trouble if we do. The Spirit of God came upon them and gave them boldness, and they went out and proclaimed Christ. They no longer had fear because they trusted in the Lord. We come to the communion table, and here is why we can put our faith in the Lord and overcome fear. Because we recognize who it is that we're serving. We're serving a Lord Jesus Christ who held nothing back. He was sinless. And yet He chose to go to the cross to bring healing and deliverance and forgiveness to those who trust Him. That night that He was betrayed, the disciples, if you look carefully in the scripture record, they were fearful. They had figured out by now that something was afoot that they couldn't understand. Even though Jesus had clearly told them, I'll go to Jerusalem, be crucified, the third day I'll rise again, they still, and they're, like we talk in our generation's Bible study, it just went over their head. That wasn't their vision of the Messiah. And now as he was at Jerusalem, and they were aware something is afoot. We don't understand it. They were troubled. And at the start of John 14, a month ago, Aaron preached from John 13 about love and about the foot washing and all that. That was all taking place the night before he was crucified. And in John 14, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, don't be filled with fear. You believe in God, believe in me. Trust that God has opened up the window of heaven and let me come. So put your trust in me. And on that night, he took the bread, he prayed, he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. He was speaking, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to offer myself as the sacrifice that will save you. He took the cup after supper. He said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. I'm going to be shedding my blood so that your sins can be forgiven. You can be under the blood. You'll be righteous, made holy before God by your faith in me. He said, it's the new blood of the covenant shed for you. Friends, as we gather this morning, Christ invites us to this table. And like I said at the start of the service, we don't see him, but he's here by his Spirit, and we know that in our heart. He invites all to come who put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I usually say you don't have to be a member of the church, but right now, really none of us are. We're in no man's land between PCUSA and Covenant Partners. But again, as always, the table is open to those who sincerely put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. He is our Savior and our Lord. Do you have any fears you're struggling with this morning? We can bring them to the cross. I'll be honest with you. Something I needed just to pray through in these last few days. I really sensed that the Spirit of God put on my heart to share what I shared with you during Praising the Lord's Work. About Thursday, my biscuit experience. You know, it was two different things. But I knew that can be challenging. I knew there was a certain... I had a little fear. You know, we could just play faith and safe and say, you know, Jesus loves us all. Let's just all be loving. But the reality is the gospel interacts every dimension of our lives and the world lives. Jesus came for the world. And so we need to address every dimension of our lives by what the Word of God says. And so as I just said, okay, Lord, there's always a risk of, you know, people who may, even if they're not harboring prejudice, think, well, this isn't the place to bring something like that up. But it is. Because in the book of Revelation, we're going to be together before the throne of Christ with people from all over the place. So let's enjoy it now and work with that. And there will be people here. And we do this every Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We're aware there are people here who maybe have been very influenced by the culture's philosophies instead of the Word of God and have compassion and say, well, really, we need to let people make their own choice when it comes to abortion. Well, compassion can be shown while still upholding the Word of God. And in any church, including ours, there are people that have had abortions. But there's no sin that's not forgiven. And we have had people come to great healing as they've been forgiven and restored. So, you know, that's what we're celebrating here. We all sinned. If not in one way, we've sinned in other ways. But we come to the table knowing there's forgiveness and healing and restoration. And so we have to set aside our fears and say, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. So let's take a moment, just prepare our hearts for receiving the elements. Just if you have any fears right now, fears about the world, fears in your own life, bring them to the foot of the cross. And like the man in Luke chapter 9, I think it was, he said, I believe, help my unbelief. May the Lord give us a deeper trust in him. Mighty God, we want to thank you, your God of mercy and justice. And we fear you alone. At the end of our days, or when Christ come, whichever comes first, we appear before your judgment seat, not the judgment seat of some people or any earthly rulers. It's before your judgment seat. And our only stand for righteousness will be not what we've done, but the blood of Christ covering us because we've put our faith in him. So, Lord, we just thank you that you've called us to faith. We trust you alone. We thank you that there is forgiveness of sins. As we lay our fears at the foot of the cross, may by the power of the Holy Spirit, those fears just evaporate. And we are given boldness in Christ to stand firm in living out our faith according to the light of your word, the light of the Spirit of God within us. We pray now that you'd set aside these elements, consecrate them to their use as reminders that by grace we've been saved, by grace we live through faith in you. We love you, Lord. We praise you. And we pray this all in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The bread represents the body of our Lord broken for you and me. Please partake of the bread as you receive it, reminding that Jesus Christ died for each one of us. The cup represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the book of Acts that was read earlier, that we are all came from one man, it could also be said we were from one blood, you know, Adam and Eve's blood. In Christ, we have new blood, the second Adam, and we are united in him. So please hold on to the cup till all have been served, and we will partake together as one body in Christ. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we bow before you in awe at how you have chosen to rend the heavens and reveal to us what you are doing. In spite of humanity's sin, you've built that inner witness. We know there is something bigger out there. We know that there's something greater than us. But without your revelation to us specifically, we would be left to endless, fruitless, deceitful speculations where many people still live. But you have revealed yourself in your word and in the living word, Jesus Christ. And our eyes have been opened, our spiritual eyes, to see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now by the power of your Spirit, may we go forth to live that wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been brought not only to a meaningful life here on earth, but we've been given eternal life as a part of your eternal kingdom. So we thank you, and thank you for the reminders of your grace here at the communion table. And that, again, that word that you've spoken again and again in the scriptures, do not be afraid. We go forth not in fear, but in faith to serve the King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now, folks, May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace, everlasting peace through Christ. Amen.